God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Luke 5. Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats ashore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Dear friends in Christ, a boat full of fish and some crusty old fishermen whose lives would be changed forever by Jesus. Today's message has the words "gone fishing" written all over it. And even if you don't care much for fishing, there's plenty in today's message for you to catch and reel in. Jesus, the Lord of creation, who created fish on the fifth day, gives his newly called disciples a glimpse of who he is and who we're called to be. Now, fishermen aren't exactly the pick of the litter as disciple material, with all the heavy labor, coarse language, and smells that went with it. But with Jesus, these fishermen are the first catch in the divine fisherman's net. By the end of this sermon, I hope you'll realize that you've been caught and a death and resurrection that won't let you go until you rise from the dead. Jesus was preaching near the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds were becoming so large that he needed an offshore pulpit. So he commandeered a fishing boat from Simon, James, and John while they were mending their nets after a long night of catching nothing. Which is usually how it goes in the fishing business. Just ask Mike Kleiss or Zeb Poland. Lots of work and not much to show for it. Might as well put the boat to good use. So Simon lets Jesus borrow his outrigger for a pulpit, and Jesus preaches the good news that he's come to save everyone. And when Jesus was finished preaching, he turns to Simon and says, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down." It's time for a little fishing lesson from Jesus. Isn't it ironic that Jesus, a carpenter's son, tells Peter, a fisherman, how to catch fish? In fact, it was daytime when Jesus told Peter, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now, any fisherman worth his chum bucket will tell you that's not how you catch fish. You catch fish at night in the shallows when they're feeding. But Jesus is the master fisherman, and this is an exercise in trust. The fishermen were probably wondering, what does this preacher know about fishing? A question I've had to endure on numerous occasions until I haul in the big one. But they reasoned, since Jesus has power over diseases, demons, and death, maybe we should give this guy a try. So Peter says, "Master, we've been fishing all night and haven't caught a thing, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." That's the way of faith, folks. Faith takes Jesus at his word, regardless of the circumstantial evidence. Peter has no good reason to let the nets down in deep water during the day, except that Jesus tells him to. So he lets down the nets in deep water in the middle of the day, and the fish swarm into the net like iron filings to a magnet. At this, Simon waves his arms and calls his partners, James and John, "Quick, get your boat and come out here." When they hauled in the nets, they filled their boats with so many fish the boats nearly sank. Simon, now dripping wet, looks down at all the walleye and then looks up at Jesus, who I like to think is grinning from ear to ear. And this big, tough, smelly, coarse-talking fisherman is filled with a mixture of fear and awe. Who is this preacher? Casts out demons, heals diseases, raises the dead, and fills fishing nets with just a word. Peter is now filled with a profound sense of fear. If the fish can't hide their location from Jesus, then I can't hide my sins from Jesus either. Peter falls on his knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man," which is actually the last thing you want to say to Jesus, because he's come to save us and not to condemn. But Jesus will not catch Peter and release him without forgiving him. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people. Like Simon, we're all crusty and sinful. We've all got a chum bucket full of smelly, rotten sins. We've all got a stringer full of excuses of why we haven't done God's will. We've all hauled in our limit of scars, wounds, and regrets by trying to swim away from God's calling on our lives. We've tried every bait in the book to try and butter up God to receive us without repenting and forgive us without faith. Our nets are full of death. Forget about catching fish. We need to catch a break from the divine fisherman. Our past, present, and future should disqualify us from being caught in the net of Jesus' forgiving death and resurrection. But it doesn't. Jesus doesn't leave us in our sins, because he's come to catch us in his net with a love that just won't let us go. The good news is Jesus practices catch and release. Jesus catches us in the murky waters of our sin, forgives us, and then releases us to live for him in his kingdom, until we live with him forever in his kingdom that has no end. So he tells Simon, "Do not be afraid." And then Jesus recommissions his forgiven fishermen to go fishing. You now have bigger fish to catch. From now on, you will catch people for the kingdom. Not exactly walleye fishing, but much more important and more rewarding. And since Jesus isn't ashamed to call a sinful, crusty, coarse-talking, smelly fisherman his disciple, then we poor, miserable sinners are in good company. God's commandments will show you how empty your stringer is, and the sinful world won't let you off the hook until we join them in their sinning. But Jesus' final word to us is forgiveness. In today's text, that forgiveness comes through these words: "Do not be afraid." Jesus unhooks us from our sin and death with his forgiveness and sets us free to go fishing for people with the master fisherman himself. Notice how Jesus' forgiveness changed these fishermen. We're told they dragged their boats ashore, left their nets, and followed Jesus. Who knows where and when the fishing is good? Simple, ordinary, smelly fishermen became fishers of people that day and began casting out the net of Jesus' forgiving death and victorious resurrection that they were caught in, and now they started hauling in boatloads of believers. Jesus taught Peter, James, and John a lot about fishing for people that day, lessons we all need to learn before we go fishing. First of all, it wouldn't be their skill, ingenuity, or cleverness that would catch people for God. It would be the all-powerful words of Jesus that never return empty. Secondly, we also need to see that Jesus practices net fishing, not bait fishing. And there's a big difference. Bait fishing is a form of deception. It's where we get the term bait and switch. With bait fishing, you get the fish to bite on something appealing, and they unwittingly get hooked on something else. You hop, skip, and jump a little fur and string in the hopes that a hungry rainbow trout mistakes it for a juicy fly, or you run a fake plastic worm in front of a walleye in the hopes that it will swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Your goal is not to feed the fish. You want to hook the fish, close the deal, and fill the frying pan. However, Jesus isn't into bait fishing and filling frying pans. He's into net fishing and filling heaven. Bait fishing is also discriminatory. Bait fishing only goes after certain kinds of fish. The other fish aren't worth their time. So if you're fishing for walleye and you accidentally hook a bullhead, you throw it back, unless you're from Northeast Arkansas or Southern Iowa. But Jesus uses net fishing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's Jesus's net. Sadly, many churches and Christians are preoccupied with bait fishing, pandering to needs, fishing for target audiences, telling the fish what they want to hear to be happy rather than what they need to be here to be saved. We do demographic studies telling us where the fish are and what they're biting on. We cast out baited lines, hoping that the fish will bite down hard enough and long enough so we can haul them in like a trophy catch and mount them on the church wall with a picture. Why? We don't want just any fish in our church. But what Jesus did for the disciples in our text and what the church needs to get back to is net fishing. Net fishing is indiscriminate and all-inclusive. 2 Corinthians 5, Christ died for all. That's Jesus's net. That's net fishing. Nets grab anything and everything in their path. Bass, catfish, walleye, crappie, carp, snapping turtles, old shoes, used tires, hubcaps, tackle bags, beer cans, you name it. You don't discriminate when you go net fishing. You just haul in the catch and sort everything out later. And that's how the death and resurrection of Jesus works. Jesus wants the church to drag the net of his all-forgiving death and his all-victorious resurrection through the whole world, like a big net hauling up everything and everyone in its path. The net Jesus wants the church to use is the net of the gospel, that the entire world and everyone in it have been included in Jesus's forgiving blood. Jesus sends us to go fishing for people with the same forgiving death and victorious resurrection that caught us and that unhooked us from sin, death, and the devil. In Luke 5, Jesus compares the church's mission to net fishing. He said the kingdom of God is like a net that seeks to catch everyone in its path, and then only in the end, when the catch is hauled ashore, which will be on the last day at the great resurrection, that is when the divine fisherman Jesus will sort everything out. On that day, Jesus will sort out all those who loved being caught in the gospel net of Jesus' all-embracing love, that he forgave every sin they ever did wrong. And they fell in love with Jesus for that reason. From those fish who wanted more than anything else to swim away and escape from the net of Jesus. And on that day, they will be compelled to depart from Jesus forever. In every church I've served, I've had members who love to go fishing. And oftentimes I'd ask them, "So how's the fishing?" And I'd usually get an answer that went something like this: "The fishing's great. It's the catching that's a problem." But Jesus takes care of that problem for us. The same word that miraculously caused those fish to swim out of the dark, murky waters and into Peter's nets is the same word of God that we have to miraculously go through this dark, sinful, murky world and bring people to Jesus. And Jesus' words are so sweet to lost and dying fish that they work. "Do not be afraid. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Neither do I condemn you." Those freeing and forgiving words catch people, fill nets, and are able to fill the boat of Christ Church to overflowing. What's our motivation for fishing for people? Namely, that Jesus' love caught us. and his love unhooked us from our sin, death, and damnation. And he wants to unhook everyone from their sin, death, and damnation. That's the motivation for fishing for people. In fact, Jesus even gives us the joy of hauling in what his love catches. But you'll never know that joy if you never go fishing. In closing, it's time to put our reason on the shelf and say with Peter, "Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down our nets." For the same words of Jesus that can heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead will fill our nets to overflowing when the lost see that they too are unhooked from sin, death, and the devil, and caught in the net of Jesus' all-embracing love, all-forgiving death, and all-victorious resurrection that refuses to let us go.